It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, TaylorSwift13.org. Welcome to episode 19, everybody. This is Adam,
Belle,
Diane,
and Haley.
All right. Today is Sunday, June 17th, 2012. Let's kick it off with some announcements. First and foremost, you guys will notice Maya's not here. There's a reason for that. Right now, she is working as a summer camp counselor at a summer camp. So she is going to try her hardest to get days off of work on Sundays when we record. But in the meantime, we have our guest hosts here helping us out until Maya gets back, which she will be back in the fall for sure. We miss Maya.
Hi, Maya.
We love you, Maya.
Virtual hand hurts. Maya.
And speaking of Maya, we have to wish her a couple day late birthday. Her birthday was on June 15th. So happy birthday, Maya.
Happy birthday.
I would try and sing again like we did for Liz Hewitt, but
that didn't work out so well.
We tried.
That was a little messy.
So happy birthday, Maya.
Anyway, so this is going to be a very special episode. Do you know why?
Why?
Why? Tell us why.
Because it's dedicated to a very special person. As I said, today is Sunday, June 17th, right?
It
Which
is.
Which means it's a very special day today. So, this episode is dedicated to someone you may see handing out guitar picks at Taylor Swift's concerts. It is dedicated to none other than Scott Swift, Taylor's daddy.
Yay! I heart Scott Swift. He is awesome.
He is awesome, which is why we are dedicating this special Father's Day episode to him. Scott Swift, heyo!
Happy Father's Day, Scott.
Happy Father's Day.
So some random stuff going on. Taylor's posted a lot of videos recently. I'm assuming you guys have seen them.
They're super cute.
What's your favorite?
To be honest, my favorite is actually Grant's response to Meredith Plays Fetch with his cat.
I haven't seen that. Oh, I should watch it.
Yeah, Taylor posted a video of her cat, you know, Meredith, and she like threw a treat and went fetch, and then her cat like ran to get the treat. And Grant replies to it with his own video of his cat Marilyn, and he's like, "My cat can run faster than your cat." He throws a treat.
I think they need a cat showdown.
His cat like skids across the floor.
They gotta have a cat showdown with races.
Right, right. They totally have.
Chase the yarn ball. Go.
Yeah, exactly. And now I have a brand new kitten, so she can join the fun.
Cool. Is your cat fast?
Yes, and she's tiny and with needle-like claws.
Does she chase balls?
She chases the laser pointer right now.
Ooh. Oh. That's always fun. A fun way to mess with your pet's brain.
She's like, I mean, she's really little. She's like, she couldn't have been more than like 6 weeks, so she's a little crazy, but she might compete with these two in the treat chasing eventually when she gets a little older. We'll have to wait and see. And by the way, she's unnamed, so you guys should all help me name her.
Ooh! A challenge to the listeners.
Submit
a name for Belle's new cat, which is
currently tiny
unnamed.
And gray and fuzzy.
Belle,
so,
I think you need to tweet a picture from the Taylor Talk account for everyone to see.
I will do that. When
Great
we get this
idea.
Episode posted, I will tweet a picture of the kitten, and you guys need to help me name her.
So, name that cat. Go follow Taylor Talk 13 and name that cat. Anyway,
yes.
So the other video Taylor put up, singing with Ed Sheeran. You guys saw that one?
Yeah, did. It was only like 16 seconds,
yeah, it was
though.
A really
that
was
kind of bummed.
But still cute.
Yeah, but they were just kind of jamming out, rocking.
Hanging out on the floor.
And then she also posted another video of her, I believe on her dad's boat, just kind of walking and saying, hey.
Yeah, that was
it's another real short
interesting.
One.
It was just her on a boat.
I love the way that
she was on a boat.
She's on a boat.
Don't sing that song. Keep it G-rated.
Hey, I was going to do the thug version. Thug story.
Yeah, see?
Okay. My mind's in the gutter, apparently.
Probably.
I'm thinking bad things.
Yeah. Well, we're all in the G world, so.
Do you know what I think is the coolest thing about Taylor hanging out with Ed Sheeran? The fact that they go to eat In-N-Out together.
Yeah, because Ed Sheeran doesn't have that in England.
No.
So that may have been his first time at In-N-Out.
It could have been, which... For listeners who aren't familiar with In-N-Out, it's a West Coast restaurant. It's only in a couple states here in the United States, but it's formed this like culture surrounding it where if you have someone visit you that doesn't have an In-N-Out, that's the first place you go when they're in town. You take them straight to In-N-Out, which seems to be what Taylor did with Ed Sheeran.
And you and Diane did with me.
Yeah, we did take you.
Yes, we did.
I still haven't gone to one.
Well, Haley, we're going to take you.
You're next.
It's going to happen.
I expect it.
You're next. All right, so let's move on to the calendar. Haley's gonna tell us what's coming up pretty soon in the Taylor world.
Now, everyone's going to be excited about this. B.O.B. did announce us via his Twitter that the music video for Both of Us will be released at the end of the month.
Yay!
Exciting!
Yeah, he posted a cool photo of it. What's that thing called?
The photo? Did he post it on Twitter? I knew Instagram. He tweeted about it.
It was an Instagram, but no, it was that take thing.
Well, I'm sure someone knows what we're talking about, and they're going to tweet us what the app is or whatever.
Well, it's not the app. It's the picture. It was in the picture. It's where they write the takes, like take one, take two of
the shot. Oh, the thing where you're like, and action, and you slap the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, the clapper.
It's called the clapper?
No, yeah, it's not. There's a name for it. Yeah, it's really simple. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
What's the last movie you've been in, Belle?
I swear to God, it's clapper.
Well, that thing, it said Both of Us on it, so I was really excited when I saw that.
All right. Thank you for that very short calendar, Haley. So if Diane and Belle, you could give us the news, that would be fantastic.
All right, our first order of news is that Taylor received the 2012 Honorary Star of Compassion Award, and that was given to her by the Northwest Tennessee Disaster Services for being such an awesome role model and inspiring their community in northwestern Tennessee. And I believe that was a response to her help with the tornadoes. And then Mark Foster of the band Foster the People was spotted out having lunch with Taylor. And despite the rumors, they're not in fact dating.
What are you talking about? Taylor is dating every guy she spotted out with.
Obviously.
That was sarcasm.
She's dating
everybody.
A lot of guys then.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
You know Taylor.
Because, you know, half the population is males, so if you're out with one, you have to be dating them.
Exactly.
Exactly. Duh. But it was revealed in an interview with Fuse that he and Taylor were writing together, but it's still unknown as to whether or not their collaboration will appear on her next album.
I kind of hope it will, because that'll be exciting.
If Taylor includes all these co-writes she's been doing recently on her album, her entire album is going to be co-written.
I think that's actually, not that this has actually been said, but I think that's kind of one of her goals. Because she specifically said that last album, she wanted to do an album that was completely written by her. And then somebody asked her, well, why are you writing with, you know, new people now if that's how you wanted to write? And she's like, no, that's what I wanted to do for that album. For this album, I want a bunch of collaborations.
What's the source of that? I haven't heard that.
I'm trying to remember. It was in some interview not that long ago. I'll have to look it up and I'll have to tweet it. From the account.
I mean, what's the tally at now? We got Mark Foster, we got Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber. Although I think the Justin Bieber co-write was on his album, not hers.
Was that ever confirmed? I don't remember if like they said which album that was for.
I don't know. Or if they were just writing together. That's why I said I think. I'm not sure. I thought.
I don't remember either.
Who else? I wouldn't be surprised if she's secretly co-written with Parachute because of, you know, back when they were all hanging out.
And then there's someone else who wants to write with Taylor. If Belle, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, this
who,
makes
Belle,
me excited.
Who wants to write with Taylor?
Selena Gomez wants to write with Taylor.
What? Taylor's BFF?
Taylor's BFF. I think that's so exciting. And she was quoted saying, I also want to work with Taylor Swift, too. So I just want to do different things for this album. By the time it comes out, I'll be almost 21. So I want to be able to... Wow, that sounds really scary. I want it to be older.
Dang. 21-year-old Selena?
Isn't that weird?
That is
like,
weird.
To think about?
Little Wizards of Waverly Place, Selena?
Right? Oh. Like, wow. When did that happen?
That's pretty exciting news, though, because...
It is exciting.
I'm not going to lie. You know, who was there? Belle, I think you're the only one in this conversation that was with me in New York for the finale show where Selena came out.
Yes.
And afterwards, my immediate reaction was, I want them to do a studio version of that.
Yeah, that they been did a really awesome job with that song.
That
they
was the first thing I
thought. Together.
No, obviously they really they're not going to, but whatever they do in the studio, I'm sure will be just as good.
Yeah, they did awesome.
Sweet!
So, we forgot to talk about something in episode 18.
A news item.
Yeah, Big Machine signed a deal with Clear Channel. And I don't know if you guys know what Clear Channel is or not.
Tell us, Belle, what is Clear Channel?
Well, let me explain what the deal is here first. The deal that they signed is a really innovative move with music and the way that it's moving toward digital downloads and everything, and it's allowing their artists a royalty whenever their song is played in traditional radio stations. And previously, that really wasn't the case. Like, the songwriters got a royalty, but, I mean, the only thing that the artists themselves got from radio exposure was just that exposure. So this allows them to profit off of radio play, which is good.
And that's good for both Taylor and the rest of the Big Machine artists.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's great if they wrote the song that they're singing, but that is not always the case with all artists. So right. I think that's, you know, definitely an important thing to move forward for, especially considering the fact that, like, with the way that music is moving toward digital rather than, you know, hard copies of, like, CDs and whatnot, and more people, I mean, how many albums do you own on iTunes versus how many hard albums do you own? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
Like, there's a huge difference between that. And, Scott Borchetta is quoted saying, we're going to more than double our income from Clear Channel in short term, and they'll make it up on the back end as digital continues to grow. Oh, hey, there you go.
So that's really what the intent behind it is to grow digital distribution. Like, Clear Channel owns the iHeartRadio, which I think you guys have heard of, I hope?
Yes.
Yes.
iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. That's Clear Channel's, and that's one of the things they're trying to grow right now. So,
hi, Virtual Heart, iHeartRadio.
You virtual heart, iHeartRadio. It's awesome.
I virtual hand heart, iHeartRadio too.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the mention of the, you know, music moving towards digital downloads is actually something that I'm going to talk about later in the show too, that Scott Borchetta mentioned. So
is it, Belle?
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
Isn't that exciting?
Excellent. So let's do some song analysis action going on here. Let's get it going.
Action.
Yeah, I don't know. I just stumbled over my words there. It's all right. I think everybody's used to me making a fool of myself by now.
Yep.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, basically.
Thanks for the support, guys. Anyway.
We love you.
We're very supportive. We're just honest.
So Taylor's second single off of her self-named, what do you call that?
Self-titled album,
which co-written by Liz Rose, was "Teardrops on My Guitar." So we're gonna tear it apart for you guys, but in a good way.
In a nice way.
Exactly. So, what do you guys all think of the song first and foremost?
This is my favorite one.
Favorite? Why?
It's just beautifully put together. I love her outfits in them, her makeup. Just everything about this.
Wait, so you're talking about the video right now?
The video, yeah, the video.
What about
itself?
The song? We'll get to the video.
Oh, the song? I have no words to describe.
I think
it was
a very, very perfect fitting song for a 16-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Like, being in that high school, girls, you can probably relate to me on this. In high school, there's that one guy that you have this hugest crush on that barely knows you exist.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Robbie.
That was me for every girl in high school. So.
Oh, Adam, come on.
I mean, if you can find me a high school girl that has not that cannot say that has graduated from high school and cannot say I've been there, I would be shocked.
I'm sorry, I can't relate, but I'm glad you guys can. So, do you guys have any favorite lyrics that come out of that song?
He's the song in the car I keep singing.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Which one?
He's the song in the car I keep singing. It's like, I mean, I don't know exactly how she meant that, but the way that I always interpreted it was like, you're thinking about this person that barely knows you exist. You hear this song, and it could be the most random song, but somehow it reminds you of that person, and you can relate it to your situation.
Hmm. And every time you hear that song,
it reminds you of that person, even if you've never been with them, and you two don't have a song together, there's still, like, a song that reminds you of that, of the situation that you're in, or, you know. There are still songs that, like, completely remind me of different people and, like, stuff from the past. And every time I hear them, I'm like, oh, and it brings it all back.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but one I related to the most, especially when this first came out, was the "I fake a smile so he won't see what I want and need and and everything we should be." Because being a girl, you daydream so much about the person you want to be with. And no matter what, how happy they are and how bad you feel that you're not with him, you don't want to, like, him to know how bad you're feeling and how sad you are that you're not with him. So that's one that, like, I related to most when this first came out.
Do you know what I actually like about it is the part with the verse where she's talking about, you know, she better hold him tight, give him all her love, look in those beautiful eyes and know she's lucky, and I don't know, I just respect that line because it's almost like she sees, you know what, Drew is happy with this girl, so she better, you know, pick up her game and take care of him.
to better appreciate what she has.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. She needs to appreciate it. She needs to care for him. She needs to be all like, I am very lucky for having this amazing person in my life. And I think that shows like a huge level of maturity for a 16-year-old, because correct me if I'm wrong, you all were 16-year-old girls once upon a time. You can get pretty bitter with other girls, can't you?
Oh, yeah. I would probably hate that girl, you know, because it's like, she has the guy that I want. Like, I do not like her. But yeah, that's definitely really mature of Taylor to see that, all right, she's happy, Drew's happy, I'm going to let them be happy.
Right.
This song pretty much has a, like, a start, middle, and end, like a story would, because it starts out with how she wants to be with him, and then going to she accepts that he's with someone else, and then to her moving on with the whole, so I drive home alone as I turn out the light, I'll put his picture down and maybe get some sleep tonight. So it's basically like
her journey from jealousy to acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really astute observation, and it's incredibly mature for, like you said, incredibly mature for a 16-year-old to be able to go through that phase, but not only that, but to also be able to capture it in a song.
Right.
To capture going from, like, I mean, that's incredibly good songwriting, especially for somebody of that age.
That's our Taylor.
It's hard enough to, yeah, exactly. This is why Taylor's Taylor. This is actually, the song is a very great example of her talent.
So you guys want to know a fun fact about the song?
Yes.
Okay, so despite it being on the self-titled album Taylor Swift, did you know it was released on the international version of Fearless?
I did not know that.
That was on Wikipedia, cool. So if any of our international listeners can actually verify that, that'd be fantastic. I read that, but I don't have an international version of Fearless, do you?
No.
Bummer.
I just have the regular Metal Locks.
Bummer.
You know what we should talk about, though?
What?
Drew.
Who?
Oh, we should talk about Drew, the subject of this song.
I know. It was just because it rhymed. You're like, Drew, so I'm like, who?
Oh, I see. Clever, Adam.
Thank you. I try.
You're welcome.
So, who is Drew?
Drew is the subject of the song, aka the guy that Taylor had a crush on. And at the time, you know, he barely knew she existed. I guess they were like acquaintances in, you know, school. But he didn't know that she had a thing for him.
They used to talk in class, though. That's shown in the song.
That's why I said they were like school acquaintances.
Hmm. Right. I believe he was in her math class or something like that. And he would tell her about
his girlfriend
every day. And she would just have to sit there and take it and, you know, smile and be like, oh, that's really great. I'm really happy for you. But on the inside, you know, she was feeling awful. Like,
she's like, ooh, I'm going to get her.
Well, not exactly. She was just like, you know, it's like that awful heart sinking feeling when you really like this guy and they don't think about you like that at all.
Sure.
Oh, I have been in that exact same situation. I had the hugest crush on this guy, but he was dating my friend, so I couldn't ever say anything because I would never break friend code like that, you know? And he would always come to me and tell me about what's going on in their relationship, when they're having a good time, when they're having a fight or something, and he'd ask my advice, and it was just gut wrenching.
And in your head, you're like, dumper. Come to me.
Well, she ended up cheating on him anyway, so.
Really? Wow.
Which means, terrible. I quit being her friend for it. It became this whole big drama. But anyways, before all that happened, that is such a hard position to be in because you can't say anything. You have to keep your mouth shut. You know, you can't, but you have to listen to it and you have to try and be supportive anyways, even though in your head you're just like, die! It's an awkward position to be in.
So how about Drew showing up in Taylor's driveway a couple years after the song came out, 2 years after?
Yeah, too little too late.
So he showed up 2 years after the song came out, not right when the song came out?
According to Wikipedia, it was 2.5 years of not speaking.
Oh, that's definitely too late.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah, apparently he just showed up and was like, hey, how's it going? And Taylor's like, wow, you're too late.
Yeah.
At least she was thinking it. I don't know what she actually said, but it's kind of funny. 2 years too late. But why do you think he would have shown up after that song came out? 2 years after.
Maybe that's when he broke up with the girlfriend he was dating in this song.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
And he's like, now I could, you know.
Cash in on Taylor's fame.
Now since the whole planet knows that she liked me, I can go and try to make a play on her now.
Yeah, only it didn't work, of course.
No, it didn't work. That was a fail scenario.
But one of the scenarios that I'm reading that was a possibility was that he was, because he showed up with a friend. He didn't show up alone. And one of the scenarios is that he supposedly was trying to prove to his friend, yeah, that's me in the song. Like, how arrogant is that?
Oh, that's almost kind of rude.
Yeah, that is rude.
Yeah, I mean, that's not confirmed. Don't take that as being
hopefully
fact.
Hopefully that's just a rumor.
Yeah, it is one of the things floating around.
I hope Drew is more respectable than that.
I agree. Because if not, then he doesn't deserve her anyway.
True statement. Let's talk a little bit about the music video, though. Music video, like a lot of her earlier videos, was directed by Trey Fanjoy, filmed in Nashville. So what do you guys think of that video?
I love the blue dress.
Gorgeous.
Blue dress? Isn't
definitely
it green?
Gorgeous. It's green.
Oh, well, it's greenish, bluish, aqua, something.
Yeah, like it's like shimmery.
Yes. And it's gorgeous.
Didn't they have to, like, sew her into that dress?
Something like that, yeah.
I think so,
it
yeah.
was really tight.
That's interesting. You know what I really liked about the video? Is how accurately it portrayed the story of the song. Like, you had these scenes of her in school interacting with Drew, and Drew's all like, hey, look at me, I got my girlfriend. And Taylor's all like, huh, that's awesome. And then it
yeah,
showed her, like,
going
home.
Taylor's videos are like that. They're very accurate to the songs.
This
that's
one was very,
I love
very
her
accurate,
though. Doing that.
And I'm not going to lie, when they were in science class and Taylor was wearing an apron and some chemistry goggles, she was looking kind of cute.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Adam.
You would notice something like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, she was. You know, that long, blonde, curly hair. The
that was
tied safety
up.
Goggles. You know how I love a woman in safety goggles.
Yeah, that was on your eHarmony profile.
Yes. If you're not wearing science chemistry safety goggles, it's a no-go with me.
Good luck, Adam. Good luck finding a girl like that.
Shut up. I thought it was funny.
So let's talk about Tyler Hilton.
Who?
Drew.
I'm sorry, I know
video.
That joke's getting old.
Well, I played along with you, but no one else did.
Aw, thanks.
You're welcome.
Glad somebody cares. So anyway, Tyler Hilton played Drew in the video. Does anyone know why?
Because Taylor picked him.
Because he looked like Drew.
It was pretty much because Taylor picked him. She's like, hey, that guy's cool. And apparently they respected each other's music. They were both fans of each other because Tyler Hilton is a musician himself.
I'm still, like, in shock from seeing him in Gloriana's latest video, and I'm like, that's true!
He was in Gloriana's video?
Yeah.
He's just all over
recently.
The place.
Yeah, it was just recently, too, and I just watched that video just a few days ago, and I was like, oh, it's true!
I know him.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually seen Tyler in concert, too, but it was just, I just wasn't expecting to see him in Gloriana's video, you know what I mean? I was just like, oh.
He just showed up.
You're popping all over the place, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I want to say that he opened for Taylor at one of her concerts, and then she asked him to be in this video on stage, and he like kind of had to say yes, you know, because the crowd was like, "Yeah, do it."
Really?
I was like, okay. Yeah.
Man, I wish I was at that show.
I know that would have been a nice piece of Taylor Swift history.
Yeah.
Tay history.
Tistory.
Tistory.
No.
Now we're making up words on Swistory. Taylor Talk.
That's no way. Yeah. Okay.
That's cool. I like making up words.
We know.
So, since I had
we can make up some good ones.
Since I had a fun fact about the song, you want a fun fact about the video?
Yes, sir.
Go for
they
it.
They filmed the entire thing in one day.
Ooh, what? That's a lot of work.
I know, that is a lot of work, because, I mean, we learned...
A lot of...
Remember when Declan came on? What episode was that? 8, yeah? I think.
Sure.
Yeah, when Declan came on in episode 8 to talk about the Mean and Ours music videos, I mean, the amount of work that goes into those is unbelievable. So, I don't know. I find it very impressive.
Locations and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Costumes and getting the lighting right and all the actors. And there are a lot of actors in this video, too. I mean, they had the classroom scenes, they had a librarian.
The hallway.
The girlfriend, Drew. Yeah, quite a bit of work went into this.
Yeah, I don't think the locations were too hard, because if I remember correctly, they filmed it in a high school.
Right, they did.
So, they kind of had the sets already set up.
They didn't have to build anything from scratch, I'll put it that way.
Right. But yeah, that's my second fun fact for the day.
Want to hear one more fact?
Yeah.
So the video received a nomination at the 2008 MTV Music Video Awards. Unfortunately, it didn't win. Uh-huh. But it was nominated.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I only like when Taylor wins.
Sad face about it not winning. But
Well, she won in 2009.
This is true. With me.
True dat. Yay. So, does anyone have any last thoughts on the music video or the song itself?
Other than that, it's amazing.
It is. It's really
amazing. Other than that, is one of the best songs on her debut album.
And it was like the story of my life in high school,
basically. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, it wasn't the story of my life, but I really like the song. Haley, do we give Teardrops thumbs up or down?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up, Belle.
Two very enthusiastic thumbs up.
Diane?
Definitely two thumbs up.
All right, it's unanimous. Go listen to it. Wait, I'm sure you guys have
I'm
already
sure
heard it.
I'm sure they have.
I'm sure they have. But
I hope they have.
If
they
go heard, listen to it again.
Right now. Go do it.
Go put it on repeat.
Yeah, for like 3 hours, and then you learn all the words.
They probably already know all the words. That's okay.
If they don't, they should.
It's okay. Anyway, so you know you're a Swiftie when / if Swifties ruled the world. Diane, give us the first one, please.
All right, this one comes from Jelloff21. I think I'm saying your Twitter name right. It says, if Swifties ruled the world, there would be a lesson in English named Taylor Puns.
Yes.
We have not done Taylor Puns on here in so long.
Well, we need to swiftly get on that.
Ah, there it is. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you, Belle.
Thank you.
You're so smart,
Belle. That was quick. All right. Next one. We actually have a little triple three-peat action going here from Zoe, who sent these in via email. Zoe said, you know you're a Swiftie when, at a sleepover, you talk about Taylor more than you talk about your crushes.
Well, we had our own virtual sleepover where we talked about Taylor.
And we did not say anything about our crushes.
Exactly.
So we can totally relate.
Cool. Anyway, next one. You know you're a Swiftie when you and your best friend always say, Taylor could do that 10 times better.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually really funny. Even though I'm not laughing out loud, I'm laughing in my head right now because I'm thinking of all the situations where I've said that.
And all the times that I've heard you say that.
All right, and the last one from Zoe is, you know you're Swiftie when your sister says, can we please stop listening to Taylor? And you reply, never!
My sister does that to me. She, like, wants me to stop talking about Taylor. And I'm like, Denise, that's not going to happen. And she's like, can we just have one, like, Taylor Swift-free day?
No.
I'm like, oh.
No.
Yeah. I'm calling out my sister on air right now.
Hey, Diane, I think I just lost a level of respect for your sister.
Oh, poor Denise.
Aww.
Oh, well. She'll get over it.
All right, cool. All
right. So the next one is from Long Live Summer 13 via Taylor Connect. You know you're a Swiftie when you cry when you read what you'll see at the Speak Now World Tour exhibit.
Oh.
I feel ya.
Belle's going to tell us all about her experience at that exhibit later.
Yes. But for now, the next one is, you know you're a Swiftie when your teacher knows you're a Swiftie because you write about her so much in writing class. Short story, Taylor Swift. Poem, song, lyrics, Taylor Swift. I can totally see that.
Anything you write about, Taylor Swift.
There you go.
Who sent that one in, Belle?
That is by Singing Swiftie 13 via Taylor Connect.
Cool. So, that's a hint to all of you that you can submit those to our Taylor Connect account now. Taylor Talk 13. Cool. Yeah. So, Belle, as we told you guys on the mini-sode last week, did something very, very special last week. Belle, what did you do last week that was so special?
I was at CMA Fest.
That's so cool.
Jealous.
And for anybody that doesn't know, CMA Fest is a 4-day-long festival where a bunch of country artists, country musicians get together. They do concerts, meet and greets, various things around town. It's awesome. It's the biggest country music festival that exists. So it's really fun. And I wish you guys were there with me.
Oh, maybe next year. Hopefully next year.
Definitely next year. You guys have to come next year, for sure. Anyway, some awesome things happened this weekend. The first was that I got to see Taylor's exhibit of all the Speak Now stuff, which was amazing.
At
and I'll
the
get into more
Country
of that.
Music Hall of Fame, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was awesome. I ran into Charlie Worsham several times and got to see him perform. And for those of you who don't know, we interviewed him.
Episode four?
Episode 4, we have an interview with Charlie Worsham, and he opened for Taylor on some of the shows of the Speak Now World Tour.
He's so cool.
He is awesome.
He was amazing to watch.
And by the way, he is now on Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
he's really good. Congratulations, Charlie.
So,
go, Charlie.
Looking forward to his debut album. A lot, actually.
Yeah, a lot.
Awesome. And I got to meet the awesome Scott Borchetta, who is the CEO of Big Machine Records.
That's cool.
And you he should did tell this us about entire that. Q&A slash speech thing, which was incredibly awesome and filled with a lot of good information. But one thing at a time here. So what do you guys want to know about the exhibit?
What was the coolest prop you got to see there?
The coolest prop, in my opinion, was the tree from Haunted.
The what? Sorry?
The tree from Haunted.
The tree. Oh, that would be really cool. It's big, isn't it?
It's huge, but here's the thing, the first thing I'm going to tell you guys. Now, when you're looking at all these costumes up close, and these are the actual costumes that were worn during the Speak Now World Tour by Taylor and her band, like, they are tiny.
Wait, hang on. You said Taylor and her band. Please tell me the Grant pants were there.
I did not see the Grant pants, unfortunately. No. But Fernando's Grant
probably kept
outfit.
Those pants because they were so cool.
Yeah, I know, Grant pants. I know. But Claire and Taylor and all these people are tiny. These dresses were just like nothing. They were beautiful. Completely beautiful, but really, really tiny.
Oh, like size-wise, not like length-wise? Oh, okay.
Yeah, like very much so. The exhibit itself takes up two floors.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Like, I literally didn't think it was that big.
It's really cool. Like, there's just one thing after another for each song, basically.
Do you know how long it's going to be there for?
And it, huh?
Do you know how long?
It's going to be there until November.
Until November.
And then where is it going?
I'm not sure. I know it's going to be there until November 11th. Mm-hmm. I believe it's November 11th.
Maybe we should take a field trip to Nashville.
I do want to go. So what was your favorite costume then, Belle? Like, what's the coolest costume that was there?
The wedding dress that Claire wore.
Wedding dress?
Yes, it was beautiful up close, just gorgeous.
I really
and funny story actually, when I was at the Seattle show, I ended up getting a ride home from the chick who she was a local, but she was on call for the concert, and she got to like prep the wedding dress
really
during the show, and so she was telling me about it like up close. But obviously I hadn't seen it from other than stage view until this, and it's really beautifully made.
That's awesome.
I mean, very very tiny, but beautiful, just. It quote unquote the gown shaped like a pastry, and they're not kidding. It does look like a freaking cupcake.
Do you know what I would really like to see? And you can tell me if it was actually cool in person or if I'm just going crazy off the wall here.
Go for it.
Is I really want to see that balcony that she floated around the audience on in the finale.
Oh yep, it's there.
I know it's there, but like, is it as cool in real life? Is it like really cool seeing that?
It actually, here's a funny story about that. Is they were telling us that when we were walking through the exhibit and. Somebody was telling us that it's actually real, like, concrete or something, and that she would step on that thing barefoot every night, and that her feet would be freezing.
That's interesting.
It's a concrete slab on the bottom?
I guess so.
Isn't that kind of heavy?
Yeah, very heavy.
I'm sure it's heavy.
And I guess one of the nights it was, like, malfunctioning, and they had to lower her. Like, really? But I don't know what show that was. I don't remember this, but somebody said something about that at the exhibit. But yeah, they were talking about how she had to walk on it barefoot, and then she'd be, like, freezing in her feet.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Why would she have to be barefoot, I wonder?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think that was a personal choice for her.
I mean, I suppose maybe it's because her bare feet had better grip. She was afraid of slipping. I don't know, but I think she was harnessed in.
I believe that's correct. But I guess in one of the shows, like I said, somebody said that it was like, it wasn't working right, and it was like wobbling, and they had to like lower her. If anybody knows what show that is, tweet us and let us know, because I don't remember hearing about this previously.
Hmm. Oh, where she got stuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, she just got like halfway through and just like got stuck.
Somebody said it was like wobbling and like acting funny, but I don't know.
So, Haley, can you send me that video and I'll get it up on TaylorTalk.org?
Yeah, I'll find it.
Yeah, cool. We will post this video on the website. But yeah, I mean, the exhibit was just really cool to walk through, and it took up, so much space, and there was so many different things to see. So, by the way, I also have, if you guys want to go to youtube.com/TaylorTalk13, you'll see a slideshow of some of these photos.
Yay.
From the exhibit.
That'll be exciting.
Yay.
Yeah, that's our YouTube account that we have neglected for, like, the last, 5 months? Oops, sorry, guys.
There's, like, a few posts on it.
What?
There's a few things on it, but yeah, we need to start using it more.
Yeah.
Put up some fun videos for you guys to watch.
So CMA Fest as a whole, was there anything significant that happened that you were around for?
Several things, actually. Like I mentioned earlier, Scott Borchetta, head of Big Machine Records, did a Q&A at the Big Machine booth in the convention center. He did that on Saturday morning, and so on Thursday and Friday there was this box at the booth, and they said if you want to ask him a question, drop it in the box or something. So we didn't know exactly how this Q&A was going to work, and apparently they didn't either really at the time. And on Friday, I was heading to the LP Field for the nightly concerts, and I got a phone call from one of the interns at Big Machine, who said, hey, if you want to ask Scott some questions, some of the stuff that you put in the box, be at the booth early and we'll get everything set up for you. So I was really excited because I didn't exactly know how they were going to work this whole thing, but I'm like, I get to talk to Scott Borchetta. That is so cool. Like, I was really
cool.
Yeah, I was really, really excited. And I guess it ended up that they couldn't get us in early, so they ended up having to call me back and say, well, you just come to the booth right at 10 in the morning, which is when the convention center opens, because for whatever reason they couldn't get us in earlier than 10. I don't know why. So we got there, and Scott had set up this, basically this, like, podium type of a thing, and then there was this area where, like, those of us who were chosen to, like, ask him questions and whatnot had to, like, be in, and then it was open, so anybody that was in the convention center could come and watch if they wanted to, which was really cool. So it wasn't like a, you know, anybody could listen to him talk.
So, I thought that was so nice. Did he reveal anything interesting that we might not have known otherwise, or was it repeating of other things he said in other interviews?
No, it wasn't really repeating. It was actually a lot of interesting. He touched on something I mentioned earlier, which was the whole how music is moving toward a digital download thing.
Right.
And another couple interesting facts that he talked about throughout this Q&A session was that he brought up, I mean, of course he brought up Taylor's songwriting, but one specific thing that he brought up was somebody asked him, like, well, what does Taylor do for you or something like that in terms of a label? And he goes, she gives me the gift of music. And someone said, well, is there anything more specific you can tell us about that? And he goes, well, there's this rock band that I love called Luna Halo. And Taylor had to do this event where she had to cover a song. And the event was getting closer and closer and closer, and she wouldn't tell me what she was going to cover. Every time I'd ask her, she'd say, oh, you'll see, you'll see. He's like, I was getting nervous because usually I know exactly what she's doing, you know, at all times. And he's like, she decided to surprise me by taking this rock song from this rock band that I like and turning it into this beautiful acoustic cover. And that was Untouchable. You guys have seen that video of her playing Untouchable?
I have. Now, is that different than Untouchable that's on her Fearless Platinum Edition album?
It's, no.
Or Special Edition
that's
album?
That's the one.
Oh, I love
like Untouchable,
that
like a distant diamond sky.
I didn't know that was a cover.
Yep, that's a cover. And she did it to surprise Scott Borchetta because she knew he loved that band.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That is incredibly cool. And he was talking about, you know, a lot of things about the label itself and about people were asking a lot of questions about, you know, what would make you want to sign a certain artist and what made you sign Taylor? And he goes, you know, I'm not looking for, it's like when I decide whether I'm going to sign somebody, what I'm looking for is a great song. And he goes, she came into, you know, he said he met her when she was 14 years old. And he was talking about how she came and was playing him songs just, you know, on her guitar. And he goes, you know, she played him a song called, originally the song was entitled Tim McGraw. Originally it was titled When You Think Tim McGraw.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's what she had originally titled it. And I guess she was playing the song for him, and that, like, did it for him right there. He was like, that song was perfect. And he's like, I told her right there and then that was going to be her first single. And he said the reason for that was not only is it brilliant songwriting, but it was also a brilliant marketing tactic because people might not remember who she is at first. They might think, oh, this blonde girl or this curly-haired girl.
Right,
and they might not
remember
her
McGraw,
name.
Cause he was established.
But they'll remember Tim McGraw. That is exactly
right.
He was
right. An established artist. Do you know what's interesting on a complete side note that's somewhat off topic is I just came across an article today. In fact, I just read it today about song titles being named after other artists. Tim McGraw was obviously on the list and it was actually focused on the song Springsteen, which Diane, I know you love, which, you know, is obviously named after Bruce Springsteen. And there were a handful of others I can't remember, but it was just interesting. It was just an article discussing how artists use other artists' names is the titles of their songs. Sorry, I interrupted your story. Please continue, Belle.
No, it's all good. I was just saying that was, you know, and he basically mentioned that was an incredibly brilliant tactic to introduce her to people and get them to remember her. Because even if they don't remember her name, they'll remember the name of that song and they'll look it up and, you know,
sure,
discover more about her. He was just, you know, talked about a lot of stories about Taylor, about, you know, as she's growing up, as we're working on her album. She wasn't actually at CMA Fest this year. And Scott did say something funny about that. He goes, Well, she's in LA finishing her record, which we're really trying to get her to finish as fast as we can because she didn't finish her homework.
It's cute.
She's graduated, though.
Yeah, he was like, she didn't finish her homework, so we have her working on the album in LA. And he didn't directly say this but about Taylor, but he said this about another artist, so it kind of made me think a lot. I was, you know, always been wondering why is she cutting this album in LA and not Nashville. But he was talking about Martina McBride and how he, as you guys, if you don't know, Martina McBride is now on Big Machine's label. And he said that, you know, she has got a studio in Nashville that she owns, Blackbird Studios, which is an incredibly famous recording studio. If anybody is into music in Nashville, let's listen to this, you know what I'm talking about. And that's where she usually cuts her records. And he sent her away. He told her, go cut your next album somewhere else. And the reason for that, that he explained was, he said, you know, you're comfortable in your studio. You can go do your work during the day, work on your music, but then you're thinking about getting home and getting dinner on the table for your kids and this and that. And he's like, you need to live and breathe this album in order to make it your best. So I'm just like wondering, you know, maybe that has something to do with why Taylor's cutting this album in LA, you know, because she wants it to be this great, amazing album. And she's comfortable in Nashville.
I do get the impression she is immersing herself in her work right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, that might very well be applied to Taylor as well as Martina. Again, that was not said, but I just thought it was that's a really brilliant observation of Scott to make, in my opinion, that your artist is going to do their best work out of their comfort zone. Because without all these other things in their life going on around them, you know, when they kind of remove themselves from their comfort zone, they're going to focus completely on what they're doing.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm just really excited about this album, this next album for Taylor, because I just think it's going to be awesome.
Scott is very perceptive. Like, he's very smart. Smart guy.
He was basically illustrating the exact reason why Big Machine Records has become what it has. Or I should say Big Machine Label Group, once they're now more than one label.
These are fun. Tell us more stories.
Well, he was talking about the second label that's on part of Big Machine Label Group, Valerie Records. And he's actually named that after the woman's name, Valerie, but spelled it differently because I guess the name means like strength and stuff like that. I would have to relook up the exact meaning of the name. Every decision that he makes it's about being progressive with music. He understands that music is moving toward digital, and he's compensating for that. And I actually have another story that involves that, but I'm going to wait until we talk about the song choice for our What Are Swifties Listening To?
Huh.
I'm going to wait to mention that for that point in time.
So what other stories do you have from, like, the whole weekend? Are there any left?
Well, there's some Charlie stories.
Charlie!
So, Charlie actually got to play a small handful of times during CMA Fest, which I was really excited about for him. First, he got to play a show. We all got passes. We were lucky enough to, if you knew where to go, I should say, you could get passes to go to attend the CMT Awards. So, me and my friends got passes for that. And then after the CMT Awards, Charlie and Gloriana were playing a special show. And there wasn't a lot of announcement about it either, so that was kind of cool because it wasn't a lot of people that came. And we were outside waiting for Gloriana's meet and greet, and all of a sudden I see Charlie. And of course we've interviewed him on the show and everything, but I hadn't met him in person yet. So, you know, I walk up to him and I'm like, hey, I'm Belle from Taylor Talk. And he's like, hey! And I got a big Charlie hug.
Charlie hug.
So he was awesome. He's an incredibly nice person, and he opened for Gloriana during this little show. He did a great job. Amazing. He did a couple of signings at the Warner booth. He played again on the stage that was outside Bridgestone Arena. I think that was Saturday or Sunday. Later during the weekend, he played during those. And so I got to see him a number of times throughout the weekend, and he's awesome. If you guys have not heard his music, please look him up. He recently signed to Warner. And he's working on his first album right now, but he still has his EP that he's selling.
Sure.
Well, what songs did he sing when he performed? Did he sing songs off his EP or with their?
Yeah, they're off his EP plus one new one called Rubber Band.
Oh.
Ooh, interesting.
I want a new Charlie song.
You should look it up on YouTube, Adam. I'm pretty sure. I think somebody did put it up on YouTube that was at the show.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it's a good song.
I'll definitely look that up.
Definitely do it. And, he had a couple of performances and it was really awesome, and it was good to see him because I got to interview him, but I hadn't had a chance to meet him yet, so that was exciting for me.
I wish I could meet Charlie.
You should.
All right. So, what would Taylor do? This week's What Would Taylor Do was submitted by Beth via email, and it's an interesting one, I think. Beth is asking, what would Taylor do if Austin, who is Taylor's brother, was dating one of her best friends?
Hashtag, that awkward moment when.
I don't think it would be awkward. I think it would be, I think that would only be awkward if they broke up.
When yeah, that's the problem, like, though.
Choosing between your brother and your best friend. Which is
basically, if we're gonna get specific about, you know, dating your best friend, I mean, we could always, like, metaphorically say, what if Austin was dating Abigail?
I was about to say, which best friend are we talking about? Because yeah, I think exactly. Abigail would be a fit. She's, like, all a party girl, and Austin is a frat boy.
Well, I think that if they were gonna date, they would have done it already, because Austin's known her for a long time.
Well, unless they I mean, they have known each other for a long time, and there's a really big age difference between being 14 and 16, but there's not as much of an age difference between being 20 and 22.
Right.
No. I think she'd be cool with it.
I think she would be, too.
I think she'd be fine with it, but like you said, I think it would be awkward if they broke up, because then it's like, especially depending on the reason for the breakup, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It would just be like an awkward position for her to be in if that happened, but like, you know, without the breakup, I don't think she'd have a problem with it. I think she'd be happy if they were happy.
Right. Taylor's just that kind of person, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She's extremely cool that way.
And then she might write a song about it.
Which is her answer to everything.
Yep.
Hey, it works for
one of the reasons I heart her.
Works for her. All right, so thanks, Beth, for sending in that question. What would Taylor do? So what are Swifties listening to? Belle, you actually, I believe, chose this one. So
I did.
Belle.
So, Swifties are listening to Ella Mae Bowen. Now, if you don't know who that is yet, she is newly signed to Big Machine Records. She's 16. She's from South Carolina, and she's actually doing this really, really cool thing right now in order to introduce people to her music. She's giving away 7 free songs. And if you sign up on her website, ellamaebowen.com, each day you're going to get an email with a new song. And also, she did this entire video session where she did... each day you're going to get, like, a video of her talking about, like, the song that you're getting, and, like, the guy who was interviewing her calls it Ella Mae Bowen, the backstory, and he's just, like, asking her questions about, like, her life and her past and kind of, like, a getting-to-know-you session. So, I think that's, like, a really good way to introduce people to her music, because also the songs that she's been giving us aren't full songs, they're demos. So she's actually letting us hear, like, her early incantations of the songs that she's been working on.
That's really cool.
If you guys have seen the movie Footloose, her cover of the song
Holding Out for a Hero
is in the movie, and that is one of my all-time favorite songs. That's beautiful. So I definitely suggest that you guys go listen to that.
When I first heard that song...
an incredible voice for a 16-year-old.
I thought she had incredible. The voice of an angel.
Oh, you're so sweet, Adam.
No, but in all reality, her song did not sound like it was coming at... or the voice did not sound like it was coming out of a 16-year-old. Like, she is unbelievably talented.
Yeah.
So, keeping it all in the Big Machine family, go listen to Ella Mae Bowen.
Do it. And, again, if you want her 7 free songs and to watch her videos about, like, getting to know her, it's at ellamaebowen.com. And there's a little link on the bottom that says 7 free songs, and you sign up there.
That's so cool. 7 free songs. 7 is my
life. It's May, M-A-E, not M-A-Y.
Yeah, yeah. E-L-L-A-M-A-E, Bowen. B-O-W-E-N.
All right, thanks, guys. So... for episode 19, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Diane,
and Haley.
Wishing a happy Father's Day to Scott Swift, and virtual hand hearts to all you guys.
Virtual hand hearts.
Bye, see y'all next time.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Bye-bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.